Good evening. It's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and this is the ADD Guidebook by E.J. Gold. And what we do is we focus on the literature that E.J. has written, and we put our attention on it to derive information that is important for us. We're the focal point, along with everybody that is on the chat, and then our colleagues on the phone as well. These are individuals that have been working on this material for 30, 40 years. And I'm just thinking about the vast offering that EJ has made for the students of the work that he proposes. It's spectacular. Right now we're surrounded by a whole area of focus that EJ got into many, many, many years ago, which is the fine art market. And in that time, we learned a lot about who the contemporary artists are. We learned a lot about different artists like Chagall, Miró, Kandinsky, and penetrated some of the mysteries of who Rembrandt. Now, these are names that we had all heard, but when you get into the marketplace like we did, you actually start to learn original data. One of the things, is there anybody online yet, Dan? Okay. EJ has been in the mornings talking about the art and I think and the books and other things, but I mean going online to the eBay and buying some of these pieces that he's working on. And I wanted to say something that's kind of miraculous that occurs if you buy a piece that is some of the pieces that EJ is offering. Now, I'm not even going to get into the fact that he's offering that. I'm just going to let that aside as not critical at the moment. But let's say you buy a piece that is a, like I'm looking at a black and white Marc Chagall. Let's say you hang that on your wall. And you put that on your wall, and it's sitting there. And someone will come in at some point, and they're going to say, oh, I hadn't seen that before.
Exactly.
And they're going to say, yeah, that's Marc Chagall. And they're going to go, who? Oh, Marc Chagall. He was a painter in this period of time from Russia. He was a Russian Jew. And then the next time you go, man, I better learn more about this guy. He's pretty important. You crack the book open, and you start to become a amateur expert on Marc Chagall. And suddenly you become a little mini museum.
Right inside your own.
In your own home. Early on, I sold a piece to... I don't remember their name, but they were coming to the art auctions, and I got to know them a lot. I'll never remember. But I sold them a small print by Ferdinand Boll. Now, this guy was one of the great engravers in the school of Rembrandt.
Yeah.
But he had this tremendous... Yeah. Ferdinand Boll, B-O-L, and his work exhibited the skill of engraving at that time. And because it wasn't a Rembrandt, it was affordable to these individuals. And they reported a year later that the entire family, kids included, had become minor experts in that field of fine art. Now think about that for a second. An area that you've been truly in the true sense non-judgmental ignorant of suddenly becomes real to you. And you begin contemplating the 17th century, which some scholars believe was the most fruitful intellectual century of mankind.
Right.
A lot happened in that century.
Mucho, in every culture.
And in Amsterdam, which was the great melting pot of world because it was the center of world trade, of course, there was Rembrandt and then a profound school of Rembrandt, but also we won't leave Amsterdam without mentioning Spinoza being there exactly at the same time as Rembrandt.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a excommunicated Jew, and Rembrandt wasn't. So anyway,
and that's the only distinct difference between the two of them. Is that correct?
Well, they were both a spectacular influence on their respective worlds of art and philosophy. Is that about right, George? Was Rembrandt?
Oh yeah, unquestionably. Just he, you know, remarkable gift of inspiration. I think the way EJ says is he was able to invoke a genius that enabled him to produce a lot of that stuff. But he was certainly the vehicle for doing it.
Or, let's say, I had a minor interest in antiquarian books before I met EJ. That was probably seeded by my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I have a small collection of rare books, Lord Byron, with very, very fine bindings. But I never really got into it. And then when I met EJ, there was a whole other area of study. And you start to learn what are the important points
mm-hmm.
in buying a rare book. And suddenly something that is just an intellectual thought, a concept, oh, there are rare books, becomes something utterly real, and you begin sensing it. And so when I look at all of these things, that it's like EJ is demonstrating to us in many ways that there are no bounds. We're not bound by very much. I mean, is it rare gems that you're interested in? Gold, coins, gold or coins? You know, how about dinosaur bones or meteorites?
Mm-hmm.
And he's a...
EJ's ideas.
Pardon?
EJ's ideas.
And his intellectual offerings to us that we have in the books, like the book we have right now, which is the American Book of the Dead, or the ADD Guidebook. And if we look at that, it's just as rich. Right now, this is our second part of Book 16, and because there's so much there, we're going to go back into it. And I want to give a shout-out to Lily Nova tonight, who has, in many ways, inspired some very important things that all of us have touched on over the years, including a diehard member of this community forever. You know. And on Saturday we have a memorial. And Pat and I met this morning, and we realized, you know, I think our heart, and I'm speaking for you because I'm just babbling here for a second.
You have my permission.
Okay. Is that our heart, our disposition is the invocational space is that, because we've had some profound invocational space work together,
mm-hmm.
but our heart and our passion is in the area of death and dying and the work of transit. Because for whatever reason, and I don't attribute anything to myself in a sense, but we're not afraid of that space.
Mm-hmm.
We can be there. And as I'm understanding, as people come into various areas of this kind of work, like recently a new member of the community and being introduced to the Washing Society, and apparently was spectacular.
Yeah.
So
a perfect match.
Perfect match. And but in addition to that, we've both been drawn to the actual text, and to deliver that and to delineate that. And I think that what we've done over the last 2 years, Ivan and Pat, and with the help of Dan and Marvette, is to penetrate this in such a way that it, for me, it's become more real in my everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Does that? Do you have a feeling for that too, Ivan? Or,
yeah.
So that, yeah, we're talking about these bardos, and EJ penetrated back to who's the guy that found or that Parma. Say it into the phone.
Padmasambhava, the Tibetan author of the Tibetan Book of the Dead.
And he had created that. He, for whatever reason, was inspired that mankind needed it, and he downloaded it.
Right.
And then buried it. And then decades later, or a few hundred years later, it was found and written down and then actually manifested into the world. Well, in many ways, EJ has a skill set, and among other things, to penetrate that kind of data. And he has presented it in many, 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 many forms, one of which that we're working on now is the ABD guidebook. And he pulls into that a profound amount of the Tibetan Book of the Dead imagery,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, he's working with the 99 names of God, and he's allowing us to see that as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite an offering here.
It's like a costume ball where you are not limited to one character. You are allowed to put on and take off multiple sets of robes in which you can actually feel and smell and taste and sense all of the parts of the chamber that the robe is from. You can actually immerse yourself in it by going inside the text as he's delivering us with the images and the visualizations and the logical, the semantical foundation of what's being presented. It's quite a, it's a lovely structure to penetrate on any level. Starting with the first one that appeals to you. There's no rules about this.
That's correct.
How you approach transit, transformation, voyaging, being in touch with your essential self is the voyage that you are making, and what works for you is the rule, not something external. It's what works, you know, how you bring it in closer. David frequently describes events during the week which were examples of something either from the text that we are reading this week or something that we've approached previous. And I wanted to share an element of this last week that relates specifically to this lovely description that we get so many times over about the eight violent female guides and the gatekeepers, the doorkeepers, and their incredible descriptions. And I won't paraphrase any of those things. But part of the job that I have been functioning in this last 4 or 5 days is to interface with family members and community members and the place where we're going to have this memorial service and try, and I've never done this before, and try and make it so that anybody who's helping me doesn't have to go out of their way to do what they can to help me. And one example of this is Beverly, who has for decades worked with all of the community art. EJ's art goes to the jazz shows and, you know, up to Toronto and to Wynton Marsalis, and, you know, she escorts it. She makes sure that it gets there and gets in the proper way that it should be. And so I asked her if she would hang Lily's art for the memorial service. And, of course, she said yes, like she would. And so I have been escorting her as much as I need to and from, and introducing her to the people there. And every single time we walk into the building, which is where Lily died, where she lived for the last 2.5 months, something will happen that changes what it was either that I thought that I was there for or what it is that I think those people are there for, those people meaning the staff. And a perfect example of this would be yesterday when we had 3 team members of the community supporting Beverly and getting the art hung, measured, labeled, listed, 53 pieces on the walls. And at the end of the day, I had 2 staff members come to me and say, Patricia, you know, and they each wanted something. And the one lady, who's the administrator, the owner of the place, said to me, we're thinking of having a Mother's Day tea, and we would like to have a harpist. Good. Sounds good to me. I'd love for there to be a harpist. You know, I don't know why they're telling me. We thought you might know. I go, well, I think I know somebody I can ask. So I leave. I go to choir rehearsal. I walk in and I say, Lily, do you happen to have the name of a harpist? And she says, you know, we're trying to move and we're getting rid of everything, but I had a piece of paper with an email address of the harpist on it. And I said, well, look in your trash. Sure enough, in her trash is what we need. And she reads it to me, and I tell the administrator today. She goes, perfect, I'll give her a call. Now, what are we doing here, you know? It's like there were no restrictions about what I went in the building
right.
for or what I was going to be asked to do, and I didn't assume that because I was there to help get the art hung that that's why I was there. So I just want to say, when you pick up this book, don't make an assumption about what it is you think you're reading. Let yourself be a child again. Listen to the book as if you are hearing it not just for the first time, but as if somebody is telling you lovingly, like your parents would when they read you a story at night. This is the way in which you find outside of your preconceptions and your mental understanding and your previous associations, you find something new. And also, it's usually something.
So what we, and I mean, I don't know if this is a proper technique, but the technique that we've been using is to assume, start with the assumption that this literature that we're reading has a true basis, and therefore, how can I see it unfolding around me as this week goes on? And as you do that, you begin to discover you see your world in a slightly different manner. And when you can do that, you're starting to begin, you're standing at the beginnings of the vista of wonder, that it becomes something different and new, not just, oh, that is this, I know about that. That's this, I know about that. Oh, yeah, I know about that, it's over here. Try to read without that preconception.
Yes.
And you'll be quite moved. You'll be quite moved by it.
Mm.
So I think we got to about verse 15.
Yeah, I was
last
thinking.
Time.
Yeah.
And let's read 15 again, because it encapsulates a principle that I think is important throughout this particular book. Do you want to read it? You want me to read it?
I'd like to read it.
Okay,
I'm going to just preface this with saying that we are reading from the 16th Book of the Dead, called the Book of Ur-Basit. 15. And if you become afraid of the violent guides, you shall be thrown down into sleep and wander blindly in the world of transit, and so you shall be reborn into the world without your knowledge or consent.
And go ahead.
16. And when the forms of one's own consciousness become illusions of peaceful and violent guides, one must remain calm and recognize it. And by recognizing reality as it is, you shall not wander blindly in the world of transit, and thus be reborn through the power of unconscious desires and fears.
So that, look at the assumption that it starts out with there at the very beginning of 15. And if you become afraid, then certain consequences occur. So how can we practice the not becoming afraid, not becoming attached, so therefore not be subject to being cast down into sleep? Because that's what happens.
Immediately.
That's what happens. You have to find a different way, a different manner in which to operate. So these things will occur. It's in a certain way they must occur, though. There's something they must occur because it's testing the viability of the vessel. The vessel that is coming through has to be tested in this way, just as part of what happens.
Well, we were speaking earlier today, and you said something about, isn't it fortunate that we are having a relatively inconsequential estate to learn our protocol, to develop our skill with, but if we don't agree to whatever it was we said yes to,
right,
then we don't get the lesson that we're being tested with when it gets hard. It's like if you've said yes, but then when it comes, you go, oh no, I didn't mean that. You know, I don't mean like stay awake when it gets hard. No, I didn't mean that. You know, we've defeated ourselves in the agreement that we made about, yes, I do wish to have, you know, whatever your wish is for your essential self. I wish for, you know, at least some degree of detachment.
Well, you said something interesting. You said that the yes that we've agreed to, and I'm reminded again of Mr. Lee and his saying, yeah, I was in that space and I said yes because it's so evident that that's what I'm supposed to do. That doesn't mean later. So we said yes at some point, and to the extent that we acknowledge that and acknowledge these things coming to us as evidence of that yes, then we will work with them as just elements in our objective offering of what's before us.
Exactly. And we have a description here that is extremely precise. It says, if you become afraid, you shall be thrown down into sleep. Okay? Done deal. It doesn't say there's any hope to get out of it. It next says, by recognizing reality as it is, you shall not wander blindly. So it's not giving you, well, if you recognize reality as it is, it's all okay. No, no, it just says you're not blind to what it is.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, Pat, because let's say that you say yes and you accept the existence of this black and white Chagall that EJ is offering, and you purchase that Chagall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, prior to purchase, you could be saying, I don't know anything about this. I don't know what it is. I heard something about the guy. I don't know if it's real or not real, fake, whatever. Or you can say yes. And when you practice by saying yes in a case like that, suddenly the Chagall is in front of you.
Right.
And you at that point, well, is this real or is it a fake? How do I tell? You have the skill set because it was presented to you.
Yeah.
You have the skill set to develop the discernment to figure it out. And I think the same case is the case with these really complex guides that are coming to us in this particular book.
Mm-hmm.
If we say yes, then I have the capacity to figure it out.
Exactly.
If I fight it, oh, I don't know anything about you, I wouldn't be able to do that. The universe will agree with you. And you will walk blindly in that field.
See, 17, if we wanted to go on with this, really exactly duplicates what you just said. Do you want me to read that? You read that?
17.
Yes.
And whatever visions and shapes and sounds you see, and whatever lights or radiations appear to you, recognize them as your own.
Yeah.
And if you do not recognize them and you become afraid of them, then all the peaceful guides and all the violent guides shall form together the body of the Lord of Death, who shall appear to you then. That's an if statement.
Yes, it is.
And your own consciousness shall be consciousness of illusion, and you shall wander into the world of matter and energy and become lost within it and fascinated by it, and you shall not be able to free yourself from it in that condition. So if you do not recognize them,
mm-hmm.
is the thing. So recognize them as a generation of my own consciousness, then you're able to at least accept the wonder, now they're there. You know, that's now in front of us, and that's like what we discovered this morning is, this is what's before us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to argue about right or wrong or they're right, they're wrong. This is before us. We'll figure it out.
Right. And the instruction says, be calm and recognize. That's a fairly succinct instruction that one could take as a starting point, no matter what the circumstances or condition are, because the be calm is something that you can work on. It's something you can develop. And the recognize them can also get developed once you have allowed the calmness to take down the interference, which is what I consider all of the, you know, fear and anxiety and all that stuff to be. It's an interference of either my electrical system or whatever from the experience between absolute reality and my thinking about or my worrying about whatever. It's an interference from being present and calm in the moment.
Let's talk about calm for a minute. So let's say you're in the Bardo's and you're hit with the peaceful and violent guides. You're hit with the four female guides of the door of the kingdom, and they just hit you. It doesn't mean that your reaction is one of calm.
No.
But it's possible, it's indicating that you might possibly have a response that will get you to calm. Reaction versus response.
Mm-hmm.
And as we look at our world around us, we should look at that. We should say, how do I respond to these things? And you have to reflect on your own physical limitations from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
That you're over-amped.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're over-amped, that's where your body is.
Right.
So allow the body to do that. That's not then a sign, not that the world is screwed up, but maybe you need a little rest, you know?
Right, or some fresh air.
Or some fresh air, or some cup of tea. But it doesn't indicate what the world is about. It indicates something about you.
Hear your whirring.
Jump ahead a bit.
The wheels in there. yes. 20. Just because it's so.
uh-huh.
You know, sure. It's just so
take it,
dangly.
It.
You want 20?
And the largest of the bodies of the Lord of Death is equal to the cosmos in vastness, and the intermediate the same as the planet Caritas, and the smallest is equal to the size of one's own body, and the Lord of Death shall come to you. 21. And his coming shall fill the sky, and the world shall be full of his presence. And he shall come to you smiling and with staring eyes. And he shall hold a book in his hand, and he shall have the look of hunger in his eyes. 22. And when the Lord of Death comes to you, do not be afraid of him. And do not be overcome by him. For the body which you now possess is nothing more than pure spirit.
We used to do an exercise in all of the workshops that I gave on end of life. And it was delivered by EJ when we were staying in Meadow Vista. There had been a request from a person in Southern California, someone that we didn't personally know in the community, who was dying. And so EJ was giving us all of the, basically what later became the body of work around the end-of-life care. And he said, what you need to do is to be willing to allow the presence of God to come and take you. And he would have us start with our hands facing out and try and get whatever was that sensation or pulsing for us, and gradually allow that to come closer and closer. This, I've done many, many workshops on this. I'm sure some of them are online. The expression in this book, remember, this is from 1975, says, and when the Lord of Death comes to you, it's not if, it will come. And when the Lord of Death comes to you, do not be afraid of him, and do not be overcome by him. For the body which you now possess is nothing more than spirit. It's a matching pair. It's nothing different. 23, and the body of the Lord is not made of matter, and your transit body is not made of matter. They are made of the voidness of the void, and therefore they cannot be more than the void, nor can they be less than the void. I find that to be so reassuring.
So let's go to 27, which I think, and these are the prayers which you should now repeat as I say them. 28. Alas,
alas,
when wandering in the world between worlds, I have become lost
and confused,
and I have forgotten the truth of reality. Come to my rescue, and banish my fears
and confusion.
Alas, I am wandering in the transit world. Please, don't let your divine grace forsake me. This is a form of very etheric reminding factors. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's like when you're in the white water of the river, you know, if you say something like that and you say to allow your grace to be there, allow your grace to be on, it really means allow yourself to accept the grace.
Mm-hmm.
The grace is there. Allow yourself to accept the grace. And when you allow yourself to accept the grace, then you shall be cleansed. And then you're reoriented, Pat. That's what happens. You get reoriented and you realize, I am a divine being. I am a being of vast as the void and not diminished by it in any way.
When wandering alone and separated from one's dear friends and familiar surroundings, and when the forms of the void are appearing in illusions and apparitions of peaceful and violent guides, and when the Lord of Death is before one here, may the guides exert the power of their divine grace. We had a request for this evening, did we not?
We did, and this is a good time for it. Our dear friend, is Molly on? Yeah. And he is very focused right now on working, she's working very hard and diligently with her mother, who's going through a form of transit for the moment. And she's asked us to say something about her mother, Pat Warmker, and to bring her into the space, in a sense, and let her know, based on the readings where we are right now, that the grace is available there.
And it's this line, and may they help me to be unafraid without terror or confusion. And may I be placed on the path of liberation and awakening beginning now.
So that's the hope that's sitting there. If we're able to allow the grace to come in, then this occurs.
Mm-hmm.
She's not lost. She's not. We experience these things by ourselves, but by doing these kinds of readings that we're talking about, participating in this activity, we can sense the healing of the others. And this reminds me, Pat Warmker, and Molly, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but you go ahead and type it in if you would, and Dan will read it to us properly. When I was, Molly was with me when I had my gallbladder surgery, and I was in a great deal of pain, but I became aware of the fact that people, I'm going to use this word just because it's easier, cared for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite something.
It becomes very evident that that was part of my healing process.
Absolutely.
That vibratory sensation was healing the body part.
Mm-hmm.
It was sitting there. And because I was in so much difficulty, I was able to surrender to that I wasn't in control.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed me to surrender and allow the grace to come in. How about that? And it was great. So I learned at that moment a small amount about allowing yourself to be loved in the way that we talk about it by your fellow community members.
And that brings up that incredible image that Mary Craigie gifted us with after she had been taken off to the hospital and put in the emergency room and then up to the isolation and all these tubes and things going on, all of which turned out she didn't want to have any of that anyway. When she made it back into the dining room a couple weeks later, she said, it was all worth it, because when I walked in the dining room, pure, clear light. That's what Mary Craigie said.
Pure, clear light.
Pure, clear light.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, I asked her forgiveness for allowing the ambulance and, you know, all the kerfuffle, and she said, it was all worth it.
That was what was required, that first part. I think you called me that in the middle of the night whenever that happened.
Yeah.
And we both just agreed, 911, that's the next call.
Yeah, I did.
Because we don't know how to deal with this.
I can.
We're not skilled at that. So we get those who are skilled at it.
Yeah.
And yes, it's disruptive and it's lights and it's sounds and da-da-da-da. And it worked out.
Yeah. Well, like you're saying, some doorways require the path to go a certain way for you to be able to go through that doorway. And
that's right.
That's just how it goes. You know, you can't predict that and you can't sidestep it. So if there's something that needs to occur, like gallbladder surgery or, you know, intensive care units or cancer or whatever, that's the path that you follow because it gives the lesson that you asked for. That's the yes.
So I think part of our job as voyagers, we don't understand how the universe operates and what the forces of that, the great voidness is, but we can learn to become voyagers that accept the grace of those around us and accept some of these things.
Oh, would you say that again?
Yes, I can. From the beginning?
We may not understand.
We may not understand the mechanism of the void or the great existence that we are in. We may not understand all of that, but we can allow ourselves to accept it.
We can accept the grace, what is being offered us, those around us.
And what if in fact what's being offered to us is grace and then grace and yet more grace?
Mm-hmm.
But part of our job, I've said this before, I don't remember which class it was, however. So,
you're forgiven for not having memory.
So that when I first arrived here, right after I had arrived, I was put into a remarkable process of things that occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And one night at the end of this particular process, Morgan had gone through something very important, and EJ had asked me to take her outside
mm-hmm.
and help process something particular.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, he pointed me toward the area where those two cats were buried. Spook?
And
Hamlet. That's it. And I found out, I figured out where that was, and I asked Morgan to lie on the earth and on her back. I was next to her as the guide.
Mm-hmm.
And as pretty electrical, let's say, for a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I don't know if you can see this exactly, but Morgan's hands went, so she's lying on her back on the ground, and her hands were like this.
Mm-hmm.
And almost as if she was pushing it away.
Mm-hmm.
And I touched her very gently, almost inconceivably gently, to allow it to come in,
mm-hmm.
to allow herself to be penetrated.
Mm-hmm.
This was right here, is where all the action was, in her chest area, heart chakra area. And to let the cleansing finalize, complete.
Mm-hmm.
So part of our job, I think, is to allow the cleansing radiation to come in. Our job is to learn how to accept more and more levels of energy, right?
Exactly. Increase levels of tolerance.
Will you increase the levels of tolerance so that when you get to this place and the Lord of Death is sitting there,
right.
there's a lot of energy there. So the most common thing to do, of course, is run.
Curl up in a ball and get reborn.
Curl
right
up
away.
In a ball and
as
say,
as fast as possible.
I've had enough of this. Just send me back to Bombay, you know? Or Boulder.
Yeah, wherever is your choice retreat.
And the other concept is, what if I don't react? I can be afraid. What if I don't react? I'm afraid, but not reacting to the opportunity. And accept it, and then it will expand you in a certain way. Like this morning when we were talking, I wanted to reject all the reality of the work I have in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want it
mm-hmm.
until we spoke for a while, and then I accepted that,
mm-hmm.
and it literally has opened me up. Literally. I mean, it's I can just feel just a 1 inch more.
Yeah. We had some meeting time this morning, David and I, in relation to our duties because of Lily's death. But it's not so much the functionality of it. It's more the it's the perspective that we were able to actually get some kind of a handle on what is this we're responsible for and doing, and how do the two parts of it work. Because I went to him and said, I am so grateful that I don't have your job, and I realized, you know, my job basically was finished when she died, the technical, you know, formal job that I had. And gratefully, I'm handing it over. And in a certain way, I must, because that's legally correct. And in another way, because we are a team, it's actually made each of us have a better capacity for doing what each of us has to do. So that's kind of, I think, where we ended up. And it's kind of, it's been reflected in everything else for the whole day. And, you know, it's those reverberations like what David is saying. EJ always says, never stop asking for help, right? Don't be afraid to ask for help. The other one is, as David's been giving us these various ways of finding this, allow yourself to accept the grace as you're given it. It's a huge challenge.
So, yeah, in a sense, my body was saying, this isn't grace, this is a burden.
Right.
This is a burden.
Yeah.
And then because I could express myself and ask for help, I still have the same job to do, but I feel very happy about doing it now.
Yeah.
Because I know how to do it, I'm able to do it, and whatever I don't know, I'll figure out with working together.
Yeah.
Well, that was nice.
There's a corollary, I think, to the agreement or the recognition of reality as it is, and the wish to be calm, which are the instructions
yes.
in this particular chamber. It says, you must be calm. If you become afraid, bye-bye. but you must be calm and recognize reality as it is. And there's all different descriptions of that. And the being calm is something you can actually work on. It doesn't mean that your body reaction will be calm.
Right.
But that you can insert a little, like I said, my wish at the moment is for a little bit of detachment. So I'm not so completely identified, you know, and overwhelmed. And
well, that's good, because I think if I had indulged in my overwhelm or indulged in my for me, why me,
mm-hmm.
that has to do this,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of people that would have agreed,
yeah.
you know, with me.
Oh, sure.
It's
justified.
Oh, yeah, it's really,
yeah.
oh, my God, why
yeah.
did they put that on you? And
yeah.
da, 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 da. The world would have agreed with me.
Yes.
But I went into I don't know,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with not knowing, and I'm confident of the fact that because I have that, I will find out more.
Yes.
And be much more competent for the next one.
Yes.
And what we'd like to do, Pat and I, and I'll email Susan about this as well, is we want to continue having not only the Five Wishes program, which, did Susan do that already again?
One time. She
yeah.
hasn't done it
she
again.
She and I did it once.
One time.
6 months ago or something.
No,
right?
It's a couple of years.
A year ago.
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
Yeah.
But she and I did it. She's the expert in the Five Wishes because she understands the discernment between the different
mm-hmm.
areas. But what we want to do is take it to do that. That's how you take care of the body. But also we want to take to encourage everybody to start putting together a will. One page long.
Yeah.
2 pages.
Yeah.
But it should address the temporality of your existence because pretty much everybody so far has died, as far as I can tell. And then you change your relationship.
Company accepted.
Well, I'm just...
He's not sure.
You never know.
Are you claiming you're an immortal, Ivan, or just you're referencing it obliquely?
I was wondering what claim he was making.
I claim that I have a discrete, limited number of years left on the planet. That's it.
Oh. Okay, go ahead. Go for that claim. Nobody's going to refute that. Hey, Dan, are we missing commentaries that we should be picking up on? Or questions? Or general proclamations?
Well, Bridget 21st earlier commented about Patricia's Brisa, Paula.
Oh, yes.
She says, beautiful words, Patty, very inspiring. And then later, that would be an amazing workshop.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Molly Midway says, all is well, thank you.
Oh, good. Thank
okay,
you.
Good to know. Thank you,
Molly. Love the feedback.
Yeah, and Brisa something came to me today, and I'll send you an email about it. Paula.
I know you have some place to get to there.
Yeah.
But I just want to insert in what you asked me last week.
Okay.
Which was, gosh, what will we do when we've completed the American Book of the Dead guidebook? And for some of us, there's just no question about it. It has to be the great adventure. Has to. Because it has highlights from the talks of the months on the subject of people using the Book of the Dead and the EJ responding to that. That's what the talks are. So I'm putting this forward, not to say that Ivan shouldn't get his choice, too.
So the debate is beginning.
And we can take, sure, we can take suggestions.
We'll take suggestions.
Yes, we will take suggestions.
I was going to question whether it was ever going to end in as much as...
In this lifetime?
Well, I guess it's a joke without a punchline.
David insists that it is going to end.
But I was thinking earlier, though, because we're starting to read the Norton Street play in Sci-Fi Radio Theater, I was going to talk about whether it's worthwhile peeking at the end to see how it comes out.
Do you want me to tell you? Do you want me to tell you particularly about your character? Don't worry for a few couple weeks, okay? You'll be okay.
Yes, and you were
so,
going
well,
to
I was
here.
Just going to say that in addition to the workshop that Pat is talking about, which would be wonderful to do.
You bet.
And, you know,
you bet.
Maybe even work together on it. But also the idea of the, I think a simple workshop on let's do your will, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
We
did that at the 35 acres.
We did.
We had like 30 people there, remember?
We did. Yes, I do.
We didn't charge for it, though.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, well, yes. Actually, we videotaped that. We did.
Did you come, Margaret?
Yes.
Did you?
She was there.
I came for something, but
it was that,
it
and
was
we
that.
Used the paper I had done on the a modest proposal.
That's right. Yeah.
We can't hear you.
Last week. I had an afterthought after the show, and David asked me to bring it up during the show, and the show is almost over, which had to do with the going through the chambers of the ABD as comparable to going to a descent down the Kabbalistic Tree of Life.
Ah, right. That's a big task, but if you want.
And did Zalman die already? He did that already, didn't he? Shucks-a-rooey.
Yeah.
Shucks-a-rooey. Okay, there's two people that I know of that we could invoke Zalman through. So we could probably do that live, so to speak.
Well,
yeah.
Start taking a look at the Tree of Life again then, Dan.
Yeah.
And then in a few weeks or months or something, we can look at that together. Look at... do you have a copy of Gareth Knight's book on the Tree of Life? Maybe I should lend you my copy. Two volumes. It's the Tarot and the Tree of Life. But it does expand the Tree of Life in such a way that you can see it as a voyager event. We, of course, are manifest in Malkuth, which is the very lowest of the so it's the lowest. It's below the lowest. That's us. And then we work to find our way back up.
Mm-hmm.
And with certain guides, you're able to make some transition. Interesting. You can't enter into the top three and remain an individuation. Bina, Chokmah, and Kether, you become...
You've got to give it up. So
that's right. And some people have the skill to know when it's time for that. Anyway, we've wandered into some fascinating areas, but it's clear to me that right after, in about a month, when the weather's better and some people are not doing as many tax returns, that we should do some of these workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday's the best day, right?
YouTube.
Online. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just that if we advance enough warning, people can shift things around.
Yeah.
I think I'll talk to Susan.
Two or 3 hours would be the max.
Maybe the three of us,
yeah,
with Susan, can do it.
2 or 3 hours would be the max, and we might have a break in the middle or something. But, yeah, and if people had the capacity to get some of the materials that have been made available to us ahead of time, you know, some of those templates that we've used, that might be helpful.
Okay.
And especially, I think the things you brought out at that workshop were very useful. But it is a while ago.
It was good.
It was a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
Both you and B came to it.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
You guys are both there.
So that was how it...
Yeah.
So we've overrun our time yet again, and you've wasted another hour of your precious life stuck in front of a computer or on the phone. And we're delighted in that blending of time together with everybody. So thanks for coming again this evening, and we'll look forward to seeing you again. We need to read the balance of the book so that we can summarize.
We will.
Because the ending is very different.
Yes.
So we should go ahead
and
finalize that in the next class.
Yes.
And then we'll zip through the rest of the book.
No way. No, it's
thank you for coming.
That.
It was nice to have you here tonight. We'll see you next week.
Six more books.
Good night.
Good night.